Let's open our Bible to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 14. Tonight, the book of Judges, chapter number 14. I want you to sit real still and listen to me. Do not get up. Listen, everything I'm going to say tonight is going to be brief and to the point. But I'm going to talk to you about a little insect tonight. And this little insect is an example of what you and I should be. And this insect is found here in the book of Judges, not by name. They say that if you put all the insects in the world together, they would actually outweigh all the human beings. You believe that? That's what they say. Man, there's a lot of them, man. They say that it would actually outweigh the human beings. There's a mess of them, buddy. It'd take a lot of skeeters to weigh more than me. But if you had all the bugs in the world, they'd weigh more than all the people in the world. I don't know who figured that out, but there's billions and billions of them. Tonight, I want to look at this one here in Judges 14 and verse number 8. And look at this. And after a time, he returned to take her. This is Samson going to get that woman he fell in love with, want to marry. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey out of the carcass of the... And honey in the carcass of the lion. So Samson comes down the road. He sees a dead lion, and bees have made a hive and produced honey in the carcass of that lion. There's all kinds of preaching you can do on that story. I've heard it preached a lot of different ways. Tonight, we're going to look at that little bee there, the honey bee. The honey bee. Now, I'm going to talk about the honeybee tonight, and I'm going to compare them to us as Christians. They're workers. I heard somewhere the other day that honeybees are becoming extinct. Y'all heard that? And that's a weird thing. They were not native to North or South America. Originally, there were no honeybees in America. They were brought over here from across the water in about 1620, right about the time the King James Bible came out. And they were brought by settlers in Virginia. And honeybees began, they started having hives. People started building hives and getting honey because everybody wanted the honey. That's where the old saying goes, comes from, busy as a bee. Now this will help you tonight. It'll help you to be a better worker. It'll help you be better on your job. You make more money if you'll listen to what I'm going to say tonight. You can be a better person if you'll listen to what I'm going to say tonight. Girls, young ladies, mamas, you can be a better wife if you'll listen to what I'm going to say tonight. I'm going to talk about how these bees work. As I said, they are not native to this country. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. You know, we're Christians tonight. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're only here for a little while. The Bible says that we're pilgrims. The world's not our home. I like them songs there. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, when you get saved, there's something in you that you just never do fit in down here anymore. You may try. You may go to the places of the world. You may get backslid and go out to some old hell hole somewhere. But there's something inside you saying, this ain't where I belong. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, I want to say tonight a few things about the honeybee. And you listen to me real carefully tonight. Did you know that the state of North Carolina, like our bird is the cardinal, our state flag, the official insect of North Carolina is the honeybee. Thank God. That's a picture of a Christian. There's a lot of Christians in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, there's some of the best people you'll ever meet in your life live in the mountains and Bible Belt of Western North Carolina. You've heard me say before, they say that you can take a map of North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina, and you can put a compass down on Asheville. And you can draw a 125-mile radius, circle 150-mile radius around Asheville. That takes in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Greenville, South Carolina, down to Winston-Salem, and up Knoxville, Bristol, Kingsport, and those cities right there. And I heard Ralph Sexton say many years ago, He said there's more preachers come out of that one little spot than anywhere on planet Earth. And you and I live 35 miles from the very center of that spot. My daddy, when he came down here from West Virginia, they'd try to get in, and he never would go to church. He never would, like I say. And preacher told me, he said, man, don't stand a chance around here. You shake a bush and four preachers will fall out of it. And that's true. That's true. They're everywhere. You go to work. He's a preacher. Them people come down here from up north are amazed. They can't believe it. They come down here and they say, man, every road I go down, there's such and such Baptist church. There's Hope Baptist Church. Half mile down the road, New Hope Baptist Church. Half mile down the road, No Hope Baptist Church. They just keep getting littler and littler and littler. They got mad at them. They got mad at them. They got mad at them. And the Catholics can't find nowhere to build one down here. There's 14 Baptist churches down every road you go. We're doing a great missionary work. But I'll tell you something, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, the state insect of North Carolina is the honeybee. Thank God. I'm glad it ain't a mosquito or a roach or something. That'll be New York or, roach ought to be California or something like that. A state bug, brother. A tick. Amen. But I will say tonight, it is native to North Carolina. Now, we're getting squeezed out. When they told me that honeybees are becoming extinct, I thought, you know what? That's a picture of Christians. You know, Christians are becoming extinct. We're not really. I mean, we're going to be here till Jesus comes back. But the world is thinking that Christianity is going to go. Matter of fact, the world has plans tonight for a godless society, a Bible-less society, a preacher-less society. The world has plans tonight to make our whole society secular. That's why you'll find no mention of God on the daily news unless it's in a negative way. You'll find no mention of God in a positive way on TV. You don't ever see a movie. Never will you see a Hollywood movie where somebody genuinely gets saved and turns their life around and becomes a good, productive member of society. Never. It never happened. But the devil's trying to squeeze us out. We're getting squeezed from the east down that way by all that education down there around Raleigh pushing this way. We're getting squeezed from the west over from Asheville, from Cherokee back this way by all the perbs coming down up north and the hippies moving into Asheville. We're getting squeezed out. We're Christians are becoming extinct. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you ever been up in the mountains of Spruce Pine and Burnsville and Bakersville and all from Marion on up that way over in the north toward Wilkesboro? Listen, they're some of the godliest people you ever met in your life right there in this one little area. I mean, there's some of them old grandmas up in the mountains can pray a hole through the sky. I mean, they walk with God and live for God every day. That's what helped me when I got around some of them old people and I could feel God's presence around them and they could pray and things would happen. I mean, they'd go up to the woodshed and stay a half a day and Brother God would answer their prayer. It wasn't just something they did on Sunday. He walked with them and talked with them. That's where the honeybee is here in North Carolina. But I want to say thirdly tonight, let me say this. A worker bee, an average honeybee, an adult lifespan is only 6 weeks. During that 6 weeks, they collect, one bee does, 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. That's not a lot. One little bee, bless its little heart, only lives 6 weeks during the summer. Isn't that pitiful? Here's this little baby bee. He grows into a grown bee, and his little bitty honeybee only lives 6 weeks. That's a short life. And during his lifespan, they go and they suck that stuff out of them flowers, whatever how they do it, withdraw that nectar and stuff, and they make 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. That's all it does. You say, that's not a lot, preacher. Everybody at the flea market's wanting to buy a jar of honey, and a bee only makes 1/12 of a teaspoon in his whole life. That's not a whole lot. Now, what I want to say to you tonight is that's the way our lives are, people. We really do have a short life down here. Life is not near as long as a lot of you people think it is. First thing you know, you'll be 20. And the next thing you know, you'll be 30. And the next thing you know, you'll be 40.
Some of you don't even remember your 30s. They went loud just like that. And then you're gone, you know. And the Bible said our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. The Bible said we spend our days as a tale that is told. The Bible said life is short. Life is short. Life is short. That little bee has to get out there and get it every day. And the only way you're ever going to get anything done for God, you listen to me, is get busy and do something for God. Don't wait till everything's right. Everything ain't never going to be right. You ever waited for the perfect day to go on a picnic or go swimming? There ain't no perfect days. You see a day with absolutely no clouds, no, if the temperature is just right, they're rare. Usually there's a cloud. Usually there's some drops of rain. Usually there's some thunder. Usually there's some wind. It's too hot. It's too cold. There are very few perfect days ever in your life. And a lot of you, that's what you're waiting on. You're waiting on the perfect opportunity. You're waiting on the perfect day. You're waiting on the perfect scenario. You're waiting on the perfect situation. And there is no such thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't ready to preach tonight. I wasn't ready to preach this morning. Very seldom am I ever ready to preach. Every time I thought I was ready, I messed up. I'm telling you, you know what you got to do? You got to get up and get on the ball and do something for God and work for God before your life is over. Some of you young people here tonight, you ought to be busy. You don't even have kids yet. You don't even have kids yet. You're the ones that ought to be in the bus ministry. You young mamas and your young mother, young married couples who are not mothers yet, you're the ones that ought to be working bus route. Thank God for all the ones with kids that do. You know what I found out pastoring the church? If I want something done, I ask the busiest people. You don't ask, just say, well, so-and-so ain't got nothing to do. Ask them. There's a reason they ain't got nothing to do. They don't want nothing to do. We're living in the laziest bunch of Christians that I've ever seen in my life. You can't even pay nobody to work nowadays. You pay them to come over and do something for you. You can't get any work done. These little old boogers work, brother. They work. They work. They work. They only have one summer. They only have one shot at it. Ladies and gentlemen, we only have one shot at this thing. I'm going by the grace of God. I run into people every now and then. They say, hey, Danny, I ain't seen you in a long time. What are you doing? I said, I'm doing the same thing I've always done. I'm going by the grace of God. By God's grace, I'm going. I got revival meetings all the way through September, October, part of November. I've got preach here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Brother, I tell you what, I've only got one little short life. It may not be much long. I've only got a 6-week span, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to get my little spoonful of honey made before I leave here. Don't sit around. Listen, get involved, people. Get involved. I can't believe some of you people. And you say, well, Brother Danny, you going to fuss at us? I think you need fussing at a little bit. I really think you need fussing at a lot. If I wasn't so nice, I'd do it more. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you people need to get up off of your seat and get busy for God and do something for the Lord Jesus in the church. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm glad you come. I'm glad you sit here. I'm glad you listen. But the Bible said, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. You know, coming up here in our camp meeting. Camp meeting's less than 2 months away. And we're going to be having big days in which we're going to visit. Last year, we set that big day up and knocked on over 1,100 doors in one day. And some of you were nowhere to be found. And you're supposed to be right with God. You're supposed to be really living right. And when we do something like that, you don't even participate. I don't understand how you justify that. I don't understand how you make room for everything else. You can do everything else, but you cannot get busy and work in your church when the church is doing something big. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Them little boogers work. They work. There's one way to build a church, and that's work. Right way. You don't build a church off of charisma. You don't. This church ain't built on my personality. This church ain't built on, brother, it's built on hard work and prayer and fasting and preaching that book. A little bee works, brother. They don't have the 6 weeks, but they get all they can get done. Mom used to tell me all the time, she'd say, Danny, you can't always go like you're going. I said, that's exactly right, and that's why I'm doing it now. Because you can't always do it. You better do it. I said, I'm going to do it while I can. The day's going to come, if Jesus don't come, that I will not be able to do what I'm doing. If the Lord don't come, that's why I'm going to do it while I can. Listen, if you let one thing stop you, you'll let anything stop you. We're not going to do it. By God's grace, we're going to get to work. We're going to get to work. Let me tell you something else. A hive of bees, are you listening? A hive of bees will fly 55,000 air miles to get 1 pound of honey made. If you total it, how they figured out, I have no idea. But bees will total flying 55,000 miles. How far is it around the world? Who knows?
26,000 miles.
Sorry, something like that. 26,000 miles around the world. That's around the world twice for 1 pound of honey. You say, Brother Danny, they got to go 55,000 miles to make a jar of honey. That's right. And yet, they know that it's worth it. They only go 15 miles an hour. That's pretty fast when you ain't but that big. Them little wings move, man. I'm telling you, 15 miles an hour is getting with it. Let me tell you something. They say, listen, I may be just a little bitty bee, and them big old giant humans eat a lot of honey. But I'm going to do my little part. And I'm going to put in my tithes, and I'm going to sing in the choir, and I'm going to help the Sunday school, and I'm going to help out with the bus ministry, or I'm going to give the bus kids some food, or I'm going to buy a bus, or I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to see the honey made. Listen, one little bee, if it was up to one or two little bees, you know how it is in most churches? You got about four bees making honey, and everybody else sitting there wondering why we ain't got no honey. That's the problem. Brother, it takes thousands of them. There's 30,000 in a hive. There's 30,000 of them things. Work on one beehive. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, do you realize what we could get accomplished around here if every single person would work and do something for God and pray? If everybody in here paid their tithes, we'd never have a financial worry. If everybody in here prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost would fall on this place. If everybody in here never missed a service that you didn't have to miss, there's no telling what God would get done around here. Amen. No, let me tell you something. Them little bees say, it's 55,000 miles, but we're going to make this honey. And I'm going to say tonight, sometimes people may question our bus ministry. I've heard people say it just ain't worth it. I've heard people say all them thousands of dollars. I'm going to tell you something tonight. No distance is too far. No gas prices is too high. No bus tires cost too much for the price of one little boy or one little girl that gets saved and kept out of hell. The honey, the honey, the honey. I'm telling you tonight, are you listening to me, bus workers? Listen, we may not be but one little bee. We not can get nuts done by ourselves. But if everybody works together, it won't be long. Buddy, when they was up here singing the other night, that day after we got back from camp, all them bus kids was up here. Glory to God, brother, it was like a bucket of honey got turned over in this place. You know why? Bunch of worker bees getting a job done for God. Amen. No expense is too great. No expense is too great for a soul to be saved. Amen. That's right. Missionaries go. Get the job. Listen, I know missionaries that give up their life. I always admire every missionary we ever have puts me under conviction. I admire like crazy anybody that would leave America and go to somewhere like Taiwan or Australia. Well, Australia might not be that bad, but some of these places and live in filth and live in poverty to reach people. I think about Nathan and Teresa over yonder in Bulgaria and Romania and them places. Lord have mercy. I can't imagine. And Teresa, y'all know Teresa. You know, I knew Teresa since she was that high, and I've been their pastor about all their life. I can't imagine Teresa raising her kids in those places like that, and they're just as happy as they can possibly be. They're working where they're supposed to be working. They're doing something for God. Listen, you'd be better off in Romania happy than you would be living in a Biltmore house fussing and fighting all the time and miserable and not happy with what you got. You know where that comes from? It's saying getting busy. Get busy for God. Get busy for God. Get busy for God. Listen, I've been to Disney World, and I've been to Gatlinburg, and I've been to Dollywood and Splash and everywhere else, and those places are all right. You can have fun. But I'm going to tell you, the happiest I've ever been in my life, the happiest and most satisfied I've ever been in my life is when I was in a great church service. deliverance, and God was moving, and my heart was right, and people's getting saved. You cannot beat that. There is no satisfaction in the world like seeing God move and feel like God's using you. Honey was so valued in ancient times that you could pay your taxes with it. In the old days. That was the original sweetener. Matter of fact, you ain't gonna believe this, but I'm fixing to preach you a message on health foods pretty soon. I didn't say I lived it. I'm gonna tell you what you should be doing. But seriously, I've been under conviction a little bit about this, about what we put in our body. Do you know that sugar, is one of the worst things you can put in you, man, and about everybody in here is addicted to it. You're an addict, man. You get addicted to that stuff. You think, I ain't had nothing sweet all day. Well, you start shooting, eyes roll back in your head and everything else. I'm fixing to preach you a sermon on it pretty soon. We're going to tell you what the Bible says that you should eat and what you should not eat. What's right, what's all right, and what ain't all right. You know, like white sugar, white bread, all that stuff kill you. Let's roll off. He lived a strict Old Testament diet. Didn't eat no clams, no oysters, no shrimp. He was a great preacher and all that. Got killed in plane crash, so whatever. Hiles eat almonds and drunk juice every day and died of a heart attack. I don't know. Grandma eat fat back and ham, couldn't live to be 95. I'm not making no promises. There's nothing unclean of itself. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Originally, honey, the best sweetener you can get really is honey. That's why a lot of people put honey on their cereal. They put honey on there because it's a natural sweetener. As a matter of fact, honey, I've heard, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that is the only food in the world you don't even have to digest. It don't even need digest. It's already done and fixed when it goes in you. That's the perfect food. And brother, they use it to sweeten the whatever they had sweetened with before somebody invented sugar. Now, I like sugar. I do. I'll admit. I like it. But it's bad for you, they say. And too much of it, you know it. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. You can pay your taxes with that stuff. The sweet nectar of the Holy Ghost and power in our services. You ever heard them song? You ever heard Jimmy Swaggart and them saying, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His holy name. That's sweeter than honey, brother. That David said, I found Thy word, and I did eat them, and they were sweeter than honey. There's nothing in this world as sweet as this Bible. Listen, when you're going through a hard time, you take this thing down, and you begin to read it, and it starts speaking to your heart, the hardest time of your life, it's sweet nectar. And brother, it's sweet from the honeycomb. When a man gets up and preaches, I'm looking forward to the camp meeting. I love to hear John Mitchell and them guys get up there. And boy, when they start preaching, it really gets good. And the Holy Ghost kicks in. It's sweet, isn't it? It's sweet, man. It's like eating pancakes. It's like eating syrup on pancakes, brother. It's good, amen? That nectar makes it sweet. All right, let me say this. The queen bee. You've heard of the queen bee? She can lay her weight in eggs in 24 hours. How is that possible? I have no idea. She reproduces herself. She can lay her weight in eggs in 24 hours. I'll tell you something, brother. I hope when I get done in this life, I can look back and I can see a bunch of little Dannies that's been birthed into the family of God. I hope, brother, I can leave behind my footprint. I want the world to know. I told somebody the other day, I said, when I die, I want people to look. I don't know how good it'll be, but I want people to look back and say, you know what? There's so-and-so in the ministry. There's so-and-so in the ministry. There's so-and-so doing this. There's a bus route running. There's a church. There. But Brother Danny had to help those kids and birth them in the family of God. You see, if I'm preaching, you get saved. I'm your spiritual father in the Lord. And then when you win people to the Lord, they're my spiritual grandkids. That's what my pastor always said. And did you know something? I've got them. I got to thinking this evening. I got to thinking about Brother Gene down there preaching at Liberty Baptist Church in Hickory. I got thinking about Brother Gene. I was preaching the night Gene got saved. I tell you what, that makes me feel so. He's preaching right now. And I'm telling you, I can look back. I thank God that I was a preacher. That night he got saved when he was about 17 or 18 years old. 19. I think old Sam Malini. Sam's over there preaching right now tonight to 200 or 300 people. I thought about Brother Rick down there in South Carolina. He's preaching right now. How many people he's got in his church. I thought about Ricky who went over there in Germany for a missionary for years in Germany and Romania and Bulgaria. I was preaching when he got saved. I thought about Brother Dale up there, Dale Cable, missionary to other countries in the world. I thought about Steve Darren, pastoring. I thought about Paul Jant, who's preaching many, many men in prison right now that got saved. I used to go visit old Paul, and he'd just look down at the floor, and his wife come to church, and she got saved. And we'd go visit Paul, and he'd just look down like that. And he was cleaning his gun. Some of you might remember this. Most of you don't. He was cleaning his gun and shot himself in the foot. Like shot a hole up through it, shot his toe, like it scared him to death. He come to church and got saved. Something that's happening up there at the theater above the church there in Marion. And brother, he got saved. And I got to thinking about all the ones that they got saved, and all the ones that they got saved, and all those missionaries, the people that they won to the Lord. And then there's other ones that I can name that hear us on the radio. We're going to have a pot of honey one day when we get to heaven, brother. Think about that. Listen, I may be just a little bee, but we can reproduce and get others working for God. Did you know that there's other churches running buses and bringing bus kids and getting them saved because of y'all bus workers? I meet them all the time. But Jack, that brother Eric down there in Belmont, he's one of us after church one night. We was talking about, I said, man, you need to start your bus ministry. And he said, how many buses y'all run? I said, 5. How many kids? So we bring maybe sometimes 150, 100, anywhere from 120 to 170 kids a week every Sunday. And they said, man, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. And I said, yes, sir. And that guy gave him a bus, and they run that bus this morning. You know why? You're multiplying. When somebody sees you do it, Dean, I got a text from Dean Cisco this morning. How they said, run them buses. They had a youth rally last night. Brought bus kids, and bus kids got saved. You know why? You know why they did that? Because some of you, some of us, work. I cannot believe people who lay in bed till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the day. Listen how quiet it is in here. You lazy bum. God did not make the day to sleep in. You say, I can't get up. Go to bed early the night before. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, you've heard me say it again, and I know some of y'all laugh when I say this. It's demonic for you to stay up all night and sleep during daytime. It's demonic, and I can prove that by the Scripture. It ain't right. It's not scriptural. It's the devil makes you. You say, well, I just can't go to sleep. You get up at 5:30 tomorrow morning and work all day till 11 o'clock. Do that 2 or 3 days in a row. I guarantee you'll be ready to go to bed about 8:30 the next night. Parents shouldn't allow their kids to stay up and watch TV and play on the computer and mess with video games till 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you tonight, brother, them bees don't stay up all night. How do you know? I'm guessing. I guarantee you bees don't stay up on a computer till 3 o'clock in the morning. They're in there like this with their little wings folded. That's right. I'm telling you, brother, they're asleep when time goes, get into bed! Get into bed! Get up! Get up! Get to work! Now, we have a bus meeting, visitation, 9:30 on Sunday morning, or Saturday morning. That's too early for some of you people. What in the world is wrong with a human being that can't come to church by 10 o'clock in the morning? You tell me. You say, Brother Danny, you shouldn't fuss. What? You tell me what's wrong with somebody like that. I have no idea. Get up, brother. Bees, get up. Get to work and make that honey. They're workers. Did you know that a bee can carry a load of nectar and pollen 80% of its own weight? Now that's nothing compared to an ant. That means that I'd go around carrying 125 pounds, 130 pounds all the time like this. all the time. That's a pretty big loaf. They go around carrying that. They carry that nectar and put it in the honey and do whatever you got to do to make honey. I don't know how they turn nectar into honey or pollen into honey or ever how they do it. Maybe the Lord touches it. I don't know. But I tell you what we do. We go out there and work. We bring up the pollen in here and that nectar in here. Brother Jason gets up here. Miss Desi gets up here. I preach the Word of God. They got up here and sang and it gets sweet. It turns into honey somehow or another. I don't know how it happens, but it's like a beehive. It's like, you know, one of the best compliments anybody ever paid to the church. When somebody come by one night and you said, you know what? There's always something going on around there. That's a compliment. That's like a beehive. You know, you don't drive by a beehive and not see nothing. Here'll go one. I mean, they're everywhere. Them things don't sting you hardly unless they have to. Now, other kind of bees, they're mean. But a honeybee, you just about have to make it sting you. And they only sting you one time. And once they sting you, they die. Because their stinger comes out and they can't live. That's the way we are as a Christian. Sometimes we have to give our life for the cause of Christ. We have to give everything, pay the ultimate price for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me say something about they share the load. They visit. They pray. They sung that song this morning. Have you prayed all night? How long has it been? We shouldn't just pray all night once a year, people. I'm preaching to myself. I'm putting myself under conviction. I really am. How's your prayer life tonight? Have you spent time praying? You say, well, Brother Danny, things ain't going right in my life. How long have you prayed this week? How much time you spent in God's Word? How much time have you been on your knees saying, God, help me? You know, I face a lot of decisions. I'm making decisions all the time. I have hard decisions to make, and there's only one way I can make decisions. If I ask Terry what he thinks, he'll say one thing. If I ask Jeremy what he thinks, he'll say another thing. That ain't nothing wrong with that. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. I like to hear people's opinion. But you know how I got to do it? I got to get on my knees, and I got to say, God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to guide me, because nobody can tell you what to do except the Lord. And I'm going to tell you tonight, our prayer life is weak, 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 weak. Those little fellas work. They get busy. They give. Brother, they work. They accomplish a lot. They don't take it for granted. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. What does that mean? One little match can burn the whole house down. And that's the way it is spiritually. All it takes is one little spark, somebody get on fire for God. Like, I get to looking around here tonight. I see people. I see him. You know what he's doing, how he's here? Hardly preaching on radio. Ain't that right? Down there in some county? Cleveland County. One Sunday morning or sometime, heard me preaching on the radio and come up here at the old building and got saved. That's a match, buddy. That just don't happen to everybody. That hardly ever happened to a radio preacher. Thank God! He heard that sermon that day. Miss Shelley there and Kurt. I forgot, who was it invited y'all to come? First. Oh, really? They just drove by. And I thought somebody invited. And all of a sudden they started coming. I was thinking about Miles. Raise your hand over Miles. We just, you know what? And Christina, raise your hand. You know what we done? We was on bus route four or five Saturdays ago, and it was 1,000 degrees. Did I want to be out there? No. Was I having fun? No. Would I have rather been home swimming? Yes. Did I have plenty to do at home? Did my grass need mowing? Yes. Don't give me this bullable. I work all week and Saturday's my... Don't give me that junk. You got people here work all week and still do something for God. Don't give me that baloney. But I went out there because it's my job and I needed to. We went down the street and I met Miles. I said, how's it going? Started talking to him. I said, y'all go to church anywhere? He said, I live right over there. And I didn't know what. We went to ask him to come to church and then went up through there. Ben took one side and I took the other side. And I knocked on the door and she came to the door. And she told me, I said, I think I just met your husband right out here in the parking lot a while ago. And we invited them to church and they've been coming like four or five Sundays. You know what? That's just a little spark. That's what? One little spark? And you know, churches go all over the place saying, how can we get people to come? How can we get people to come? I'll tell you how.
You get out there and beat the doors in, and that's how you get people to come to church. Now we could have a famous quartet and get people from other churches to come over here. What have you accomplished? Nothing. That's why some churches are no longer fishers of men. They're keepers of the aquarium. You're just taking them out of one aquarium and putting them in another aquarium. That ain't fishers of men. Brother, listen, that's what Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons do. Get them out of backslid Baptist churches. Listen, brother, we get them out of pool hall. We get them out of a drug rehab. We get them out. You know why? Got something to offer them. We got the greatest story ever told. We got something to give them hope. Amen. Listen. That day we knocked on 1,000 doors, you may not see one person come that you invited. And four more will just show up right out of the clear blue sky. Because God honors faith and God honors work. We're supposed to work. Work. If you don't have no gas and no money, you've got a phone. And if you ain't, you know somebody does. And you can sit at home and call people. If you have to work 12 hours every Saturday, you got money, and you can put. We got one bus out there right now, steel thing coming through the front tire. We don't have to. That doggone thing cost $300 if you have to buy them somewhere. We got a deal on them, and we got. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can do something for God. You can work if you will. Give us a shot. Leave your footprint. I don't know if this is even right or not, but it's my. I want to. I'd like to. You know, the church still there, Marion, doing great, and I thank God that it is. We're being blessed. When I die, I want to leave behind a bunch of young preachers preaching all over the world and missionaries all over the country. And there's been two or three people saying they're going to keep my radio programs being aired after I'm dead and gone. I'm not prophesying or nothing, I hope. I'm planning on preaching every one of y'all's funeral. That's my plan. But you never know. You never know. But I want to leave behind church there, a church here, and a footprint. I want there to be some honey where we've been and we've worked. Well, they say without pollination from honeybees, many of us, say like apples, cucumbers, and almonds and watermelons would hardly even be available. There wouldn't be many. I did not know that. I did not know that pollination from honeybees was responsible for apples, watermelons, almonds. A big part of them we wouldn't even have. There is no telling the blessing of God that's on people's lives just because of people living right and serving God and praying. There's no telling how many kids have been kept off drugs because they went to camp. There's no telling how many marriages were held together because they went to church one Sunday morning and some little bees worked and prayed and fasted and the power of God moved. There's no telling. There's no telling. There's no telling how many charities there is. The Salvation Army. That thing, Samaritan's Purse. I mean, they help more people than them government projects and give them the gospel. You know where that come from? Bees. Like the Billy Graham Evangelist Association. All those people, all them years. And I know I'm not saying we agree with everything Franklin Graham says or does, but I'm telling you one thing, brother. Thank God they're feeding people and they're getting the gospel to people. And it's everywhere. The whole world is being witnessed to because bees pollinate. Little pond. Watermelons, brother. Almonds. People are getting blessed all over the world. Jason and them using their talent to sing. That's why, listen, if you can sing, you ought to be in the choir. If you can't sing, you ought to be in a choir. You just get up here and be a blessing. I like the way Miss Judy's always standing up here and just look straight up to heaven. See, I told her, I said, you have no idea how many people are blessed just watching you sing in the choir. And I'm going to tell you tonight, do something. Be a part of what the Lord's doing. Libraries, mission, hospitals, all this stuff. Y'all, I hardly ever watch old Huckabee. Huckabee, he's supposed to be a preacher, and he's got him a TV show. And he'd be a lot better off preaching if God's calling him to preach. But I watched, something caught my eye on there, last night or night before, He had these two women who were Muslims, and they had got saved, and they were dressed in American clothes, like y'all ladies are, pretty dresses. And they're really dressed up, and they didn't have all that Muslim stuff. And these girls got saved. It looked like it was about 30 years old. And in Iran, they sentenced them to death for converting to Christianity. Put them in prison. They put them in prison. Their prisons ain't like our prison. They put them two ladies in prison and said death sentence. And they were in there for several months, and they was going to kill them for converting from Islam to Christianity. Now, where's the ACLU? Where's Jesse Jackson? Where's all them people? If that was the other way, what if we did that here in America? If you was a Muslim, we was going to kill you. See, we're nice, and people believe what they want to, and we catch a devil. You go to Iran, tell me you're Christian, they'll put you in prison. And yet we're bowing down to these people and talking about how we should apologize to them. Well, anyway, there was so much pressure. What's that guy's name, that ACLJ guy? Jay Sekulow. Him and all kinds of Christian organizations put pressure on them people. They said, look, you're going to look bad in the eyes of the world if you kill them girls. And they let them out. And old Huckabee is on there, and he's sort of mushy, liberal, beating around the bush. He's saying, and so you ladies refuse to deny your faith. How did you do that? And those girls said, because Holy Spirit is with us. I thought, Lord have mercy. They said, Holy Spirit presence with us. Jesus with us. Huckabee wouldn't even say Jesus. And them girls said, Jesus is with us. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it refreshing to hear somebody get on and not be ashamed of the Lord and just say, well, and I got to thinking, people, they ain't putting us in prison yet. You can get out. Everybody in here could give a couple hours a week work for the Lord. All the boys, we're going to all come down here and play basketball Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Come on, man, all of you. I saw one of them big old boys coming on this morning. He said, I said, come play ball with us tonight. He said, oh, I can take you. I was shaking somebody's hand. I said, I can shake her hand, beat you with my left hand. I was just messing with him. Bus kid, you know. And I said, come on. But you know what we can do, too? We can come an hour early and bring our weed eaters and get rid of that mess down through there. We need some people. We need painters. We need somebody to just be willing to paint. Before the camp meet, that junior church and that hall, all that back there. Wouldn't that be a blessing if somebody just said, you know what? I'm going to work. I'm going to be like a little bee. I tell you what, God will bless you for it. Anything you do for the Lord, He'll bless you. Now, if you come down here and bounce a ball, you're welcome. But I doubt God will really bless you for that. But if you do something for the church, He'll bless you for it. He'll bless you. Here's something, ladies. My dishes went unwashed. Ladies, today, and I didn't get to make the bed, but I took God's hand and followed to Sunday school instead. Oh, yes, we went adventuring, my young people and I, explaining in the Bible the truth no one can deny. My house was neglected, and I didn't sweep the stairs. In 30 years from now on earth, no one will know or care. But that I've helped a girl or a boy in their Christian life to grow, in 20 years from now, the whole world may see and know. I know you, listen, I got grass to mow. I hate it. My yard's too big. But I get it done. But I tell you, if it's time for me to go do something for the Lord, I let it go. If you want to grow something to last a season, plant flowers. If you want to grow something to last a lifetime, plant trees. If you want to grow something to last an eternity, plant churches. Because that's all that's going to matter when it's all over. Let's stand by our heads for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. No one's talking.